This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. When Julie Edmonds and Sarah Terry became the first North Carolina couple to get a second parent adoption back in 2004, they had no idea it might all be taken away from them. A second parent adoption is when somebody adopts the child of a partner who he or she is not married to. Now, North Carolina is a state where same-sex couples cannot be married, so this is a very important tool. Then there was a court ruling in 2010, and it said that unmarried couples had no right to second parent adoptions in this state, and that threw the legal rights of parents like Julie Edmonds and Sarah Terry into question. The ACLU filed litigation to oppose the ruling. It recently amended that complaint to challenge the state's ban on same-sex marriage. On August 6th, the Durham People's Alliance is going to hold a screening of a new film, Unconditional. It examines the issue of second parent adoption. It's going to be shown at Motor Co. Music Hall in Durham at 6:30. Joining us now to talk about the issue is Julie Edmonds and Chris Brook, who is a legal director at North Carolina ACLU. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Julie, you were tell us about this because you were the non-biological parent in what turns out to be the state's first second parent adoption. Tell us how that came about.
Sure. So Sarah and I had been together for about 12 years and decided to have children. And she was the one who decided to carry the children. And from the very beginning, I was very actively involved. I was there early at from the moment of conception through all the prenatal visits, through the birth, and really have been actively involved and in their lives ever since. So I really have been a parent in every way except for legally.
When that child is born into the family, you are not considered a parent at that moment, right?
Legally, I'm not considered.
So then what did you do to become the parent? What do you have to do in the state back when you did this? And this was when? It happened – when did it begin? Did it begin in 2004?
So our first son was born in 1999, and at that point, adoption was not an option. And so what we actually did was a friendly lawsuit where I essentially sued her in order to get custody. And so that way we were able to have joint custody, and there were some legal protections that were in place. By the time the twins were born, which was 2002, adoption was really becoming something that was going to be a possibility. And Sharon Thompson, as our attorney, had been working for many years on this and had come up with a legal argument that she thought would work in North Carolina. And at that point, she was really looking for a couple who would be willing to go through the process. And she knew Sarah, and they'd been actively involved together in People's Alliance and had done a lot of political activism. And at that point, also, Durham County was getting a new clerk of court, and both of the candidates had agreed that if there was legal rationale, that they would approve a same-sex adoption. And so we went through the process. We're the first couple to go through the process. As part of the process, we had to have a home study. And so there was actually a social worker who had to come to our house and look at our house and make sure that I was a fit parent. And at that point, since we were the first ones, nobody had really explained anything to her. So she showed up and she's asking me all these questions. And my answers, I think, are sort of not making sense to her. And then at some point in the middle of the session, she realizes that, in fact, the children I'm adopting are the children that are running around the house at this point and stopping and giving me hugs. And she sort of looks at me and is like, why am I here? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why you're here, because this is a hoop that we have to jump through.
Well, let me ask
to do this.
Chris, why was she here? What is the journey of second parent adoption with regard to gay couples in the state of North Carolina?
Well, back last decade, Sharon Thompson and other attorneys throughout the state, and in particular here in the Triangle, were pushing a great deal to have recognition of the reality on the ground for gay and lesbian couples, which is to say exactly the story that Julie was just telling, where both parents day to day are doing all of the glamorous and not so glamorous work that is involved in parenting, and to have the law recognize that, because the reality prior to second parent adoption, and now that we don't have second parent adoption here in North Carolina, is that non-legal parents are legal strangers to their children. They have no legally recognized relationship with their children, and that not only doesn't reflect reality, but has consequences both mundane and hugely consequential for families and for children in the state.
For a while, it was sort of on a county-by-county basis about whether a particular adoption would be allowed, right?
That's right. There was a period of time where there were certain judges in the state who were interpreting our adoption laws to allow for second-parent adoptions. And then that issue went all the way up to the state Supreme Court, who interpreted the laws in the other way, saying that our adoption laws did not allow for second parent adoption in 2010. And unfortunately, that set us back to the situation we had previously, where families and children just don't have the protections that they need.
So does that mean that did that ruling, Julie, undo the adoption that you did? Did you adopt?
So, yes. So the home study was successful. They found, in fact, that I was a fit parent, which is good. We went through the procedure with the judge, and I still remember to this day that the judge standing there and saying, she was a family law judge, and she said, I deal so much with people who are trying to avoid taking responsibility for children that it is just wonderful to see someone who wants to take responsibility. And so she signed off on the adoption decree. And I will say that I really didn't think it would make a difference. I was kind of like, how can I love these kids any more than I already do? But when the adoption was signed, it was really like this weight was off of me that I didn't even know had been there. And like I'd sort of built up a little wall almost to protect myself or something in case something did happen. And I wasn't even aware of it. And so to have that sort of relief was wonderful.
And what happened with the court ruling? You talked about a court ruling in 2010 that said once and for all these would be illegal. Does it undo those that were already established, Chris?
Well, I think that is up for some debate. In that particular case, what they decided was that there were still some rights that attached to the relationship that was the subject of that particular litigation. But they said from this point forward, the state cannot recognize second parent adoptions. And I think that, what's so striking about what Julie says are the real burdens that come along with the lack of second parent adoption and also with just family recognition in general. Not only psychological burdens that she just spoke about having this weight that you're carrying around day in, day out, but also real material burdens that you have, whether it is not having your children covered potentially under the non-legal parents' health insurance plan, situation where children could be denied workers' compensation benefits from their non-legal parent, situations where if a child is sick or in the hospital, hospital personnel could bar the non-legal parent from visiting the child or from making needed medical decisions for them. Those are hugely consequential impacts that no one wants to think about as being part of a parent, but it is on certain occasions a part of being a parent. And to not be able to, extend those protections to your family and to your children is a real tragedy.
Julie, tell us how you became involved with the film project Unconditional.
So during all the amendment work, we were very active in fighting against Amendment 1. And at the party at Motorco, where we're going to be showing the film, actually our attorney, Sharon Thompson, introduced us to the filmmakers. And one of the filmmakers had a friend who had faced a similar situation. She was the non-biological mother, and she had split from her partner. This was in Florida, and was being denied access to the children that they were raising together. And so it was a personal issue for her, and she wanted to do something to bring awareness to that issue. So she approached us about doing the film, and so we're one of the families in the film. And then the other family is actually a family that's going through exactly that scenario where the couple split up and the non-biological mother was unable to see her children for several months. It's actually quite powerful in the film because she wasn't able to have her face shown or her name, so she had to remain anonymous. And so you can't see her, but you definitely hear her story, and you hear and you hear the pain in her voice because she's trying to see these children and she can't, and the children don't know what's going on. They have no idea why.
Chris, let me ask you if you think the recent court ruling on the Defense of Marriage Act has any impact on the legal proceedings going forward for you.
Yes, absolutely. I think that one of the things that was so encouraging about the Supreme Court striking down the so-called Defense of Marriage Act is the majority opinion seemed to very much understand the real impacts that the lack of marital recognition has on families and has on children. On one occasion, Justice Kennedy writing about children being humiliated and being told that their families are less than other families because of the lack of marital recognition. So that certainly factored into our decision recently to amend our second parent adoption litigation to include a challenge to North Carolina's ban on marriage for same-sex couples. Nothing says family like a marriage, and nothing provides the real unique benefits to couples, but also to children, than the institution of marriage. And to exclude people from that institution simply because of their sexual orientation, I don't really think can be squared with notions of equality that are so important to us as North Carolinians and as Americans.
I want to thank you both for being on the program today. Julie Edmonds was the first person in North Carolina to get a second parent adoption. Chris Brook is legal director for the North Carolina ACLU. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you.
On August 6th, you can see the film Unconditional. It's being shown by the People's Alliance. It's going to be at Motor Co. Music Hall in Durham at 6 o'clock, and you can get more information on our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, an activist tries to come to grips with mental illness. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.